Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, February 1st, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. As my grandparents used to say, good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope you're feeling fine. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to rise and shine. Hey, wherever you are out there, wake up. It may be middle of the day. Maybe you're checking out on the podcast and maybe it's nighttime. But whatever you're doing, man, it's a brand new day. Jesus loves you. Keep on smiling and just know he has a plan for your life. You may not know what it is. It may not be fully developed. You may be in the middle of it. You just never know. But, man, just trust him with everything you have. We talked last week about just trusting God because he is good and his love endures forever, you know. And it just, man, it kept coming back this week. So I found another verse in Psalms we're going to talk about this morning and just share a couple of stories, a couple of insights about God's love and how good he is and why we should be thankful each and every day. So wherever you are today, man, just take a minute, say a prayer, give God thanks for what he's blessed you with, and don't focus on the problems. Focus on what he's given you. Like I used to tell my boys, let's don't focus on the things that we don't have. Let's focus on the things that he's blessed us with, because we've got a lot. And you know what? There's always somebody that's got a little bit worse than us. So whatever you're doing this morning, bow your head, take a few minutes to spend with the creator of the universe, and just tell him you love him and tell him you appreciate it. And man, he's going to bless you for that. So come on back on the other side, grab a cup of coffee, listen to some tunes, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes on Sunday morning. Last week, we talked about 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3, and it was Solomon talking about, you know, we got to praise God for he is good and his love endures forever. And this week, I was reading, and I just came across Psalms 107, the first verse of Psalm 107. And like the Lord was speaking right back to me, just reminded me again that maybe we need to talk about this 2 weeks in a row. But it says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I mean, it's almost word for word exactly what we talked about last week. So just cool. I think God's trying to hammer stuff home sometimes. I think that repeating comes back. But, you know, we do need to thank the Lord. How many days do we go, or weeks or months or potentially years, without ever thanking God for what he's given us? You know, this day and age, we all get, want, need. It's all about I, me. Everything's instant. And so we've become a very fast-paced, I won't say greedy, but more transactional society. And it's just all about what can I get and how fast can I get it. But you know what? When we stop and look around and we just take a few minutes to go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what I have. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my job. Thank you for a little bit of money in my bank account. And thank you that, you know, we're here and that we're doing okay. And most importantly, thank you for grace, right? I mean, because without God's grace, none of this even matters. Because at the end of the day, to me, that's what it's all about. Receiving that grace from the Lord because he gave it to us, and also extending that grace to others that we come into contact with each and every day. So what's your world? What's your circle? What's your sphere? Your tribe, whatever you want to call it. Where's God got you right now? And how are you making an impact? Are you making an impact for him, or are you making an impact for yourself? And I think when we ask ourselves that question, we begin to peel the layers of the onion back a little bit and start to understand what truly motivates us. And look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having nice things or being wealthy or any of that. It's to me, it's really irrelevant, because it's not about that stuff. It's all about what's in your heart, and it's about that heartitude. And are you thankful? Do you praise him and tell him he's good? And do you know that his love endures forever? See, I think if we buy into this Psalm 107, this whole idea that he tells us about throughout Old and New Testament, I think it works, man. It's just the way it's supposed to be. And if you live your life that way, and if you really believe this, if you give thanks to the Lord and you know that he is good and that his love endures forever, man, you can't help but be grace-filled. You can't help but be a shining light on a hill wherever you go. And people are going to look at you, because you're going to look different. You're not going to look like everybody else walking down the street or driving down the interstate. You're going to have something different. And it's going to give you and me an opportunity to stop and have that conversation with just one individual. And you never know who that individual is. And just that one smile, that one handshake, that one high five, that one hug, that one comment, whatever it is. It could change somebody's direction in life. We've talked about this frequently on the show and just how different stories throughout the years, people have been encouraged by just one little act of kindness, and that's all it takes. So be kind wherever you are today. Know that the Lord loves you and know that His love does endure forever. And I'm going to share a story coming up a little bit later about a gentleman that, you know, man, he knew that. And he took his opportunity to help out a lot of people, and it's pretty cool. And we'll talk about it here on the other side. Kick back, relax. Hope you're having a great day, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes. You know, giving thanks to the Lord, you know, it's all about perspective, being thankful, being grateful. It's all His anyway. I mean, you know, He can give it and He can take it away. I've know that in life, whether it's finances or health or whatever it may be. But what are you doing with what God gave you? I was sharing this with somebody earlier, but it's this quote about comparison. It says, you know, you can seem like a millionaire to one person and a homeless person to the next. The ants think you're a giant and the trees don't even notice you. You think you have a boring life, but the next person in line might be striving for your lifestyle. Comparison is the thief of joy, so stay kind and keep loving life. Life is all just a big game of perspective. And, I thought that quote was just very appropriate for what we're talking about here because, you know, we always want to compare. Well, you know, I could do a little bit, I could have a little bit nicer this, or I could have a little bit bigger house, or I could, but, you know, when you start rolling down that hill and you start going down that track, there's never enough. It's just like it's insatiable. You can't ever get there, and you can't ever get out of there. You turn around 10 years ago, by 20, 30, your kids are grown, your family's moved out, everybody's, you know, life's happened. And well, did you miss it? Did you miss the moments in between? And so I think it's important that we stay thankful, we stay grateful, and we say that verbally out loud to the Lord. I think it's important that we're thankful. There's a reason we're supposed to get on our knees and pray, because it's humbling, it's uncomfortable. But more importantly, it puts us in our proper perspective with the Creator of the universe. You see, I'm not on God's level, neither are you. Nobody is. He created all this. And He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, and all He wants is a relationship with us. And so all that is talking to Him, just like I'm talking to somebody, just like talking right now into this microphone. I mean, but when we talk, we also have to listen. We have to receive that. But I think it's important that we acknowledge Him out loud, that we praise Him, that we give Him thanks. Because He is good and His love does endure forever. But, man, it's all because He extended that grace to us. So be thankful for that and show it in your life, right? I mean, we've talked about this from time to time, but, you know, if I'm one of these Christians that goes to church and I've got perfect attendance and I always put the right amount of money in the offering plate and I'm just in that and I do everything by the book, but my attitude stinks and I'm not grace-filled and I don't extend that love of Christ to others, where does that rank? You know, what is God going to say about that when we get to heaven? And He says, what did you do with what I gave you? You know, I had a good friend used to ask me that all the time. When we get to heaven, he's going to say, why should I let you into my heaven? And number two, what did you do with what I gave you? And if you can't answer those questions, you know, dig into God's word. And know that the reason, you know, when God says, why should I let you into my heaven? Because I trusted in your Son, Jesus Christ, for eternal life. And then what did you do with what I gave you? That's the question that gets me. I feel like I get it right some, but I feel like I mess that up some too, a lot. But, you know, when we're dialed in and we're thanking God and we keep this Psalms 107 and we're thankful and we're grateful and we praise Him for being good and we acknowledge that His love endures forever, He's going to use us to shine. He's going to give you opportunities to do that. We're going to come up here in a few minutes talking in another segment coming up about Italian cyclist Gino Bartali and the impact that he had on the world around him. And you may think, you know, what could a cyclist do to impact his world? Well, we're going to find out. I'm going to share that here in the next segment or two. And, you know, as we're talking this morning, as you're listening, just think about where God's got you. You know, what's your perspective? Are you comparison? Are you a comparing person? That there's just never enough, and well, the Jones next door have this, so I got to get this, and I'm not going to be happy till I do. But you ever notice, you never get happy. But you know, when you give it to the Lord and you just trust Him for everything, man, that's joy, that's peace, and that's understanding, and He wants to give it to you today. So just take a few minutes, go outside, spend it with Him, and just check it all out and pray and say, Jesus, I love you and I need some help in this area, or just thank you for being you and thank you for the grace that you have extended me, and slow down a little bit and see what happens. Keep on smiling, everybody, and remember, Jesus loves you. The second part there of Psalm 107, we've talked about giving thanks to the Lord, but for He is good. You know, he is good. God is good always. I wrote that out always in caps because when times are good, man, it's easy to say God's good. But when times are tough, it's not always that easy. Sometimes you want to cave in. Sometimes you just want to collapse and just, man, turn into your own dark star or black hole and just collapse on yourself and give up. But that's not what it's all about. It's about hanging in there, keep putting one foot in front of the other, and trusting the Lord, praising Him in the dark times and the hard times. You know, I've shared a lot of my story, my history with you guys each and every week about job loss, about cancer, about health, about family, about finances, pretty much an open book. But, you know, I know in the darkest of times, you know, it's easy to just, again, turn victim and turn inward and go, poor, poor me, and poke that lip out. And I don't blame anybody for doing that. I really don't. But I know in life when I've not done that and I've gone, okay, God, there's something you're teaching me here. There's something you show me. And just let me slow down. Give me wisdom and discernment so I can understand exactly what it is that you're trying to teach me. And when I take that attitude, man, it just ends up being an easier journey. Not saying it's easy. It's easier, right? And God is good because of that. You know, I don't think He does it to be mean to us. I don't think He does it to punish us. I think it's just simply, are we trusting Him? Yeah, again, it's easy if I win the lottery or I get a raise or a promotion at work or get good news in family life or personal life or I hit a hole in one in golf or, you know, shoot a big deer or whatever it may be. Man, it's easy to praise God. God is so good. Look at this. And we need to acknowledge Him in those moments. I'm not discounting that at all. Please don't misunderstand me. But we also need to make sure that in the dark times, when the boss man comes in and says, man, we got to let you go. Or the doctor walks in and says, hey, I got some bad news. You might want to sit down for this one. Or a friend says something that just rocks your world. Or a spouse or a loved one. Or what? There's just so many things that can come at us. And they can wreck us if our foundation is not in Him, right? If our foundation is not built on the rock, if it's built on the mud or the sand, all that stuff that can collapse and fade away, it is going to collapse and fade away. But when we're drilled in and we're dialed in to God as our rock and as our backbone, as our foundation of everything that we have and everything we believe in, man, again, you're going to have bad days, but they're not going to be horrible bad days because they're always going to get worse. You know, I know there's times in life when I haven't trusted the Lord in situations, and man, it just got bad, and I mean really bad. And there's been other situations that got hard and got kind of bad, but because I was trusting the Lord, man, He used it. He used it for something better and something more than I could have ever dreamed. You know, you sit there and you get this cancer diagnosis, and you go, man, it's over. What's going to happen? And look, when you get that news, man, I don't blame or judge anybody for any reaction they may have because it's like nothing you've ever felt in your life. And I hope those of you that never had that ever have to have that news or get that sentence stated for them, hey, I got good news and I got bad news. Man, it's a feeling I don't ever want to have again. But then I turn around and go, 13 years ago, the Creator of the universe allowed me to go through what I went through. Not to make me look better, not to make me more than I am, but so that I would slow down and I would sit back and acknowledge Him and go, yeah, God's got it. God had me through it, and God still got me. And y'all, that's the only reason I'm sitting here today is because of God's grace. You know, I remember telling the doctor the first morning I was at Vanderbilt Hospital, and that doctor looked at me, Dr. Lambright, and he said, I'm going to give you some advice. He said, don't get online and try to diagnose this thing yourself. You're going to find 10,000 different things that it's not, and you're going to worry yourself sick, and you're going to be wrong. He said, you let us do the blood work and the biopsies, and we're going to find out what this thing is, and we'll diagnose it, and then we'll put a plan of attack together, and we'll go beat this thing. How does that sound? And I looked at him. I said, Doc, I believe God is the ultimate healer and physician. I believe you are His assistant here on this earth. So between the two of you, I'm just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight. And as best I could, y'all, that's what I did. And I'm not saying it was easy, and I'm not saying I'd ever want to do it again, but I would. Because I learned so much about myself. I learned about a lot about God, and I learned about who He is, and I learned more importantly who I'm not. And I'm not God. I'm nothing. I am minuscule at best compared to Him. But He gave me a chance, y'all. He gave me a chance to stand on a mountaintop and say, hey, God gave me this platform of cancer and heartache and hardships and all the stuff that I went through and my family went through. But he gave us that platform so we could be standing here 13 years later saying, you know what? Jesus loves you. Whatever you're going through, he loves you. And he just wants you to be blessed. Just trust him. That's what he told me. And that's what I've done, tried to do a majority of my life. And y'all, when I do it, man, it's nothing but blessings. And when I don't, it's go ahead and write it down. It's probably going to be miserable. So whatever you're going through, I'm sorry you're going through any hardships or trials. Maybe you're not. Maybe everything's good. Well, if everything's good right now, go encourage somebody that's down. Maybe somebody that's gotten some bad news or somebody that's, you know, going through a hardship. There's people out there. You don't have to look very far. Probably don't even have to go more than 10 steps either direction in life, and you'll find somebody that's hurting. And so just go encourage somebody. Lift them up and let them know that, hey, God is good and that he loves you. So glad you're listening this morning. Grab another cup of coffee, kick back, listen to some music, and man, just enjoy your day, because at the end of it, all is good when you know Jesus Christ, because he loves you. Keep on smiling, everybody. We talk each and every week on the here about, you know, impacting the circle around us, our tribe, our group, our community, our neighborhood, whatever, your work, whatever it may be. And I want to share this story. I read it this week. It's pretty powerful, about a gentleman, an Italian cyclist named Gino Bartali, that impacted his world in a major way. He was the most famous athlete in Italy. The Nazis never suspected his bicycle was saving hundreds of lives. Italy, 1943. German forces had occupied the country after the government's collapse. Jewish families who had lived in Italy for generations were now being hunted, rounded up, shipped to camps, and sealed cattle cars. The countryside was a maze of military checkpoints. Roads bristled with armed soldiers. No one moved without papers. No one traveled without being searched. No one except Gino Bartali. At 29, Bartali was more than a cyclist. He was a national icon. He had won the Tour de France in 1938, dominating the world's most grueling race. He had conquered Giro d'Italia several times. His face appeared on newspapers across the country. Children wore his jersey. When he rode through the town, crowds gathered to cheer. The soldiers at the checkpoints knew his face as well as they knew their own commanders. And Gino Bartali realized he possessed something more valuable than any medal. Invisibility hiding in plain sight. One day, a message arrived from Cardinal Elia Dalla Costa of Florence. The cardinal was secretly coordinating a network to save Jewish families hiding in convents, monasteries, and private homes across Tuscany. They had documents, forged identity papers that could mean the difference between life and death, but they couldn't transport them. Every courier they had sent was stopped, searched, and arrested. "We need someone the soldiers won't search," the cardinal said. Bartali understood immediately. "I will go," he said. His plan was audacious in its simplicity. He would tell everyone he was training for the next big race. He would wear his racing jersey with his name emblazoned across his chest. He would ride the routes between Florence and Assisi, sometimes covering 250 miles in a single day, distances that seemed insane to anyone who didn't know professional cycling. But before each ride, in the privacy of his home, he performed a different ritual. He would carefully unscrew the seat post and handlebars of his bicycle. Inside the hollow steel tubes of the frame, he would roll up photographs and forged documents, baptismal certificates, identity cards, ration books, everything a Jewish family needed to become, on paper, Catholic Italians. Then he would reassemble everything, mount his bike, and ride towards the checkpoints. When soldiers stopped him, and they did, he had a script ready. "Gino Bartali, the champion, can we get a photograph?" He would smile, chat, sign autographs, and when they moved towards his bicycle, he would become urgent, protective. "Please don't touch the bike. Every component is perfectly calibrated. If you adjust anything, even slightly, it ruins the balance, and I have to race in weeks." The soldiers, starstruck and not wanting to damage the equipment of a national hero, would step back. They would wave him through. They never suspected that inside the frame of the bicycle, they were admiring, hidden in millimeters of hollow steel, were documents that would save entire families. Bartali rode past machine guns. He rode past tanks. He rode past barbed wire and military convoys. He rode in rain, summer heat, through exhaustion, and had nothing to do with training and everything to do with fear. If the Nazis discovered even one forged paper, he would be executed on the roadside. His wife and children would likely be killed as well. But he didn't stop with courier runs. In his own home, in a concealed basement space, Bartali hid the Goldenberg family. Jewish refugees with nowhere else to go. Every day he brought them food. Every night he prayed they wouldn't be discovered. Every morning he woke up and made the choice again to risk everything. By the time the war ended in 1945, Bartali's secret network had saved approximately 800 Jewish lives. 800 parents, children, grandparents who survived because a cyclist used his fame as a weapon against tyranny. When liberation came, Bartali simply went back to racing. In 1948, at age 34, when most athletes had long since retired, he stunned the cycling world by winning the Tour de France again. 10 years after his first victory, the press swarmed him with questions. They wanted to know how he had trained during the war years. What had he been doing? He smiled and said nothing. For the next 52 years, Gino Bartali never spoke publicly about what he had done. When his son asked about rumors of wartime heroism, Bartali said, "Good is something you do, not something you talk about. Some medals are pinned to your soul, not to your jacket." Bartali died in May of 2000 at age 85, still silent about his wartime actions. Only after his death did the family discover the diaries, the letters, the documentation. Only then did the survivors come forward. Children and grandchildren of the families Bartali had saved began sharing their stories. A photograph here, a forged document there, testimony from aging partisans who had worked alongside him. In 2013, 13 years after his death, Israel's Holocaust Memorial, Yad Vashem, recognized Gino Bartali as righteous among the nations, an honor given to non-Jews who risked their lives to save Jews during the Holocaust. The cycling champion who once stood on podiums holding trophies was finally acknowledged for the victories that truly mattered. Not the races he'd won, but the lives he'd saved. Not the medals pinned to his jacket, but the ones pinned to his soul. Gino Bartali proved something the world needs to remember. Heroism isn't always loud. Sometimes it's a man on a bicycle pedaling through enemy territory with documents hidden in hollow steel tubes, racing not for glory, but for humanity. God rest your soul and God bless Gino Bartali. Can't believe it. It's February 1st. I know we're late in the show to be talking about that, but it just dawned on me. I mean, it's January's over and we're not going back. So, I think every year it's getting a little bit faster every year. And it's funny, my youngest one, Sumner, he's 20, about to be 22. And he said something a few months ago, goes, "Dad, I can't believe it's already Christmas time. I can't believe this year has flown by." And I just sounded like my parents when I looked at him. I said, "Hey, just remember, it goes faster and faster every year." So happy February, everybody. Talking about Psalms this morning. Giving thanks to the Lord. We've talked about that, about He is good. We know that. We've talked about it. But this last part, His love endures forever. Y'all, it's not temporary. It's not ever going to go away. It's forever. And I mean, like, for eternity. Like, it's so hard for us to sometimes comprehend. It's hard for me to comprehend that it's never going to end, right? Eternity goes on and on and on. What is that going to look like? Y'all, I have no idea. But I know what God's word says, and He says it's forever and ever and ever. And it just comes down to a choice. You know, you can either have a relationship and depend on Him and put your trust and faith in Him and spend eternity with Him, or you'll be spending eternity separated from Him. And I don't know what hell looks like, and I don't know what heaven looks like, but I just know it's about, I don't want to be separated from the Creator of the universe who created all this. And He created us for fellowship with Him. So why fight it? I think it's human nature. I think it's our sinful nature. We don't want to give up control. There's a lot of different reasons, and we'll get into that, you know, as the year progresses and get a little bit deeper in conversations about that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it just boils down to not getting your own way, you know. God's love endures forever, and when you trust Him with everything, man, you don't have to have your way because you're doing it God's way. That's where I get in trouble when I go, hey, it's about me and what I want. And when I don't get my way, I usually end up mad. And 99.9% of the time when I'm sinning, when I'm messed up, when I'm angry and my heart's not in the right place, man, it's because I'm not getting my way. And the Lord gave me that word a few years back when I was teaching school, but it's heartitude. Heartitude, it's the attitude of your heart. You know, what is it? Only you know that and God knows that. You know, there was years when I was younger, I was good at fooling people. I'm good. I'd be smiling and laughing and joyful on the outside, but on the inside, I was locked up, stoved up, matted up. Is that even a word? I don't know. It is now. But, you know, it's just, only you can confess that out of your heart and get rid of that. You know, I was talking to a good, really good friend last week and just talking about that. How do I get rid of that? Man, you just give it to him. Just say it. Again, we talked earlier about praising him and giving thanks to the Lord. Take that same opportunity to just confess that stuff. Get that junk out of your heart. Because when you got that strife in there, when you got that anger in there, you got that jealousy, well, I mean, put name it, whatever it is. When you got something in there that's not right, it's like thorns and briars. It's just going to overgrow your heart, and it's just going to choke it out, the good stuff. But, man, go in there and cut all that junk out and just grace and love and mercy and fill your heart with that by reading God's word, by being in prayer with him and constant communication with him and going to church, just being around other people. I mean, it doesn't have to be a certain building. Just church is the people. So if you get few people together and, man, you just break bread together and you pray together and you discuss some scripture, I believe that's church. Doesn't have to be on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. I mean, those are good to go to, don't get me wrong, but man, take opportunities on a Thursday afternoon or a Monday night or someone when it's, you know, when the opportunity presents itself, just to come together and give thanks to the Lord and praise him for being good and acknowledging that his love endures forever. Because, you know, I heard this years ago, eventually everything in this world and everybody in this world is going to let you down. And that's true. I'm going to let you down. If I know you, at some point in life, I've let a lot of people down. And I'm going to do it again. It's not my intention. It's not what I want to do. But that's just, we're not God. There's only one that won't let you down. And that's the Lord. And, you know, it just, I can never think of a time where he let me down. You know, there might have been a situation where I prayed for something and thought about this or thought about that, but, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's, man, it's just all about his grace, all about his love, and it's all about his mercy. So lean into him today. Trust him with what you have. Trust him with what you don't have and see what he does in your life. Write it down, you know, journal something. Write this. If you're going through a struggle, man, put pen to paper and just keep it between you and the Lord. And just say, here's what God's doing in my life right now. I feel lost. I feel hopeless. I feel great, or whatever it may be. And then just track that. And over time, you're going to go back and read through that and go, man, look at where God showed up. I wish I'd have done more of that younger. I need to do more of it now. But you can also have something to pass on to your kids and your grandkids and the next generations, and they can see where God moved in dad's heart, her mom's heart, her grandmom's life, her grandfather's life, whatever it is. But use whatever God's put you through. Use your opportunity. He's given you your story because it's your story. Take that platform to let other people know that Jesus loves them and that everything's going to be all right. Keep on smiling, everybody. Keep on hanging in there because you know what? Jesus loves you, and if nothing else, that's all we need. Thanks for being a part on Sunday morning. We'll be back here in just a few. Hey, Shaw Gage back with you on Sunday morning. Thanks so much for being a part each and every week. Glad you're listening. Hope you're getting something out of it. It's always just an honor to get ready each and every week to come on here and just share what God's doing in my life. Again, disclaimer, man, I'm not a preacher. I'm not trying to get in your business or be bossy. I think my kids will sometimes accuse me of that, but I think all kids do that with their parents. But no, seriously, this is just what the Lord's laid on my heart this week, each and every week, and I just try to come in here and share that and share some insights where God's tapped me on the shoulder or said, you know, spoken something to my heart. And man, I just want to share with you to encourage people, to let them know whatever they're going through, it's going to be all right. And just to keep smiling. You know, I say that a lot, but I think a smile, it can do a lot for your attitude. You may not feel like it, but you know what? If you just smile, it just seems to kind of start pulling all that junk out and that whatever it is, the hard stuff in life. So try to smile more. Try to encourage other people more. But just really, you know, y'all, the last few weeks, last 2 weeks specifically, God's been just saying, hey, focus on what you have, not on what you don't have. And through this Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You know, everything in this world is temporal other than him. It's all going to be gone. It's all going to burn. It's all going to be gone by the wayside. Jobs can be lost. Money can be ruined or gained and lost. Health can deteriorate and can be regenerated. They're all going to ebb and flow, but there's only one that doesn't ebb and flow, and that's the Lord. And this right here backs it up. His love endures forever. So do you want something temporary or do you want something that's going to last forever? Y'all, I'm 51 years old, and I don't have it all figured out, but I know when I trust him, when I'm thankful and I'm prayed up and I'm giving thanks to the Lord and focused on what he's blessed me with, not being ungrateful for what I don't have yet. When I focus on that and I focus on his goodness and his love, man, it not only makes my life easier, but it allows me to be conduit. It allows me to come out here each and every week and each and every day as I'm meeting with friends and family and customers and just anybody I interact with. When you have that and it's just, man, it's present in your life, people are drawn to that. And you just got opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to impact the world around you. And, you know, we used to talk about this a lot up at Grace, but, you know, are you a kingdom builder or are you a kingdom tear downer? Again, it gets back into that question we were talking about earlier. You know, you get to heaven, standing with St. Peter, and God looks at you and says, why should I let you into my heaven? And then the second thing he says, what did you do with what I gave you? Whew. What are you going to say? Are you going to, hey, I'm ready here. I got this list. Here it is. Or are you going to go, God, I failed. I wouldn't even go next door and talk to my neighbor. Or I wouldn't reach out to that coworker because, you know, I didn't really like their attitude. Yeah, who am I? Man, I'm not the judge. I'm not the jury. I'm just a witness, and that's what I'm supposed to do. Focus on that this week. Quit trying to be the judge. Quit trying to be the jury and just witness. Just tell people what you see, tell people what you know, and try to encourage somebody this week. Love you, everybody. Hope you have a great week. Stay warm out there. I know it's been crazy. We have had a crazy last couple weeks here in the South and across the eastern half of the United States, but hope everybody's doing okay. Stay warm out there. If you don't have to get outside, do not go outside. I don't have to tell you that. It's chilly out there. But, hey, stay warm, everybody. Stay full, and I'll be praying that everybody gets through this, and hopefully we'll be seeing springtime before too long. Hope you have a great day. It's been a pleasure on Sunday morning. I'm Shaw Gage signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 1065, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama. We'll be right back.